The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate the Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from AlexRobinson.fun.
I'm Allison Rosen from AlisonRosen.com.
And I'm Daniel Quantz from Twitter and Instagram.
All right. Thanks for coming back, you two.
Sure.
Thanks.
And me.
It's crazy. It's Thursday. It feels like Monday. Hang on.
Yeah.
It does.
This week has zipped by.
Yeah. It's the holidays. They kind of start the holidays, plural. Like we're. It's summer. That's what it is. We're about to hit summer.
That's right. Yeah.
Dog days, man.
Well, today we're talking about minute 94 of
94
Star Wars Episode 8.
This is the best Jedi. My favorite one.
Well, it's a good one. It starts with Finn letting everybody know that the tracker's right behind that door. Door number one. And it ends with Poe telling C-3PO to go with that. You go with that.
Oh, yeah.
Poe, go, C-3PO.
Poe, go, 3PO.
That was funny.
Right, because C-3PO is his programming will not allow him to take part in a mutiny.
Yes, and he's famously nervous, and so here he's, as would I be. The older I get, the more I identify with C-3PO.
Yeah, same.
I like that C-3PO is basically characterized as that person at the party who you do not want to get cornered with. Because they will just, you can't get out of that conversation, and they talk, they just tell you stuff you're not interested in.
That's C-3PO for you?
Once again, I feel the older I get, the more I feel, more I identify with C-3PO.
I'm not saying we don't all relate to C-3PO. We're all more C-3PO than we want to admit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Why wasn't R2 more in these movies? R2's like barely there. He's barely in the first movie at all. Is he even in this one? Like... Mm-hmm. He was the heart and soul of those first Star Wars, sort of.
I think BB-8 just kind of scrappy dude him. R2 seems slow and clunky.
Cousin
Oliver BB-8
him.
Rolling
but
around.
R2 could have been given him like a big brother sort of moment. Had a moment where it's like, you think you're the S, you know, word I'm thinking.
Scrappy dude.
But showed him how it's done. You know what I mean? Like, R2's still the boss droid.
Right. Like, he gets into a spot somewhere. He's like, oh, no. Like, well, I have to do this thing with the computer, but how can I do it? It's across a little chasm. And R2-D2 is like, look out. I got rockets.
That's right. You think you're so great.
This is great fan fiction, you guys, but that's not what happened.
Well, I have a question, and it's, let me know. Again, we're TMI, but the... Allison, were you aware that they made R2-D2 and C-3PO were the designated girl underoos along with Princess Leia? Were you aware of that at the time? Did that affect how you feel about them?
I'm just taking it in. I was not aware of this. I had underoos. I had Wonder Woman underoos.
Sure.
And same. I'm trying to think if I had Star Wars underoos. It's like not jiving with my sense of gender that they would have made C-3PO and R2-D. Why not Princess Leia?
No, they did.
There was a Leia, too, but they...
But
they,
also these ones.
Yeah, there were so many male characters for them to do that they're like, well, these robots are fairly genderless to the outside.
I guess. I think of them as male. I was Darth Vader for Halloween one year, which is very shocking given my lack of knowledge about these movies. But this cool older girl I know was going to be Darth Vader. And I was like, if she's going to be Darth Vader, then I want to be Darth Vader.
Mm. How old were you?
God, I was like six.
What kind of mask was it?
It was one of those like plastic masks with the very thin elastic. So the plastic piece goes on the front with the little holes for the eyes. And then the, you know, thin elastic goes around the back of your head. Yeah, old school.
Yeah. My most important Underoos memory is this kid. I think
only want the most important one.
Yeah,
I don't none of them with, bother with that other.
I'm not going to bore you with those. There was a kid in our class who got the Superman ones, and he wore them over his jeans. And
guess
we
that
all
makes sense.
Argued with him that this is not how these are supposed to be worn. They're underwear,
not overoos.
And of course, now as I now understand why he thought that, because if you look at Superman, he does actually wear his underoos on the outside.
Yeah,
but very confusing, and I'm sure that kid has one of those memories that makes him want to stab himself in the head with a fork every time he thinks of it.
Or he's still going around like, "I was right. Come on, I was right."
Maybe he's still wearing them like that.
Where did you fit into this?
That boy's name was Henry Cavill. Yes.
Were you trying to argue with him about the way he was wearing his underoos, or were you just a bystander?
I was concerned for his social status being disrupted.
The fact that he was 15 and still wearing underoos outside.
This was an age where I was on the cusp of nerddom myself. I was like riding that line. And so whenever I saw my fellow nerds drift further into nerdery, I would try to pull them back with my advice.
You're like the Holden Caulfield of semi-nerds.
Yes, I was exactly. But it was to no avail. They, you know, people went the way they were going to go.
I was always too oblivious to that line that I was, you know, like, but firmly remember being, you know, kind of like fourth grade or something, and I went up to my friend and was like, "Hey, dude, I finally got that, you know, whatever G.I. Joe or Star Wars thing it was." And he was just like, "Not here, man. Not here." And I was like, "Why? What's up? I love this." Like, totally, you know, like, but he was looking out for me too. He wasn't just like, he didn't turn on me and say, like, "Shut up, nerd." He was just like, "Cut it out." Like, you're, you know. I didn't listen.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of minute 94 of The Last Jedi, one funny thing I noticed was, DJ starts fiddling around with his little the panel there, and I don't know if it counts as one of those bloopers or like, but his hat suddenly is, when he starts doing it, his hat is facing forward, and then they cut to someone else, and then when they cut back to him, his hat is backwards.
You got to list that on IMDb if it's not there already under continuity.
Yeah. I should get like a reward or something for that.
I'm not, I'm not sure that I want to wade into the IMDb page for this. Looking into the, you know, trivia and goofs might be.
Just Google DJ's backward hat.
That's the only thing that's going to come up is Star Wars.
It spawned just so much fan fiction and just.
Right.
Stories of what how it turned around. Yeah. Why did they use the Force?
Yeah, the Force. A wizard did that.
Rose's charm is perfectly spaced to bridge those two circuits.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was a lucky
and it's
break.
Like basalt smelt or something, which now, just conducts well.
Now, is that just luck, or
is it the Force?
Is this like some sort of universal key secretly for
a skeleton key?
Short-circuiting whatnots.
When he first, before he does it, he puts it in his mouth, and I wasn't sure if that's him just kind of giving it a lick so it'll conduct better, or if he was bending it a little bit to make it fit. But now I'm hatching a new theory that it's this is all just for show, but he just like jammed it in there and made a spark. Because he's already in bed with the First Order anyway, so maybe he's just kind of like, oh yeah, here's your thing back, like.
But he does open the door, though.
Yeah, but he could just open it anyway, I think. They're letting him, they want, he's behind that door is not only the tracker, but also the people waiting to capture him.
Maybe that's why there's that odd beat that he gives when they're like,
oh, right.
When's the door going to open? And he's like,
Yeah. Well, now. Yeah, now or never. And he's like, now, which I think is that tomorrow? I don't know. But
I like
that was
theory.
A weird moment.
I think maybe the Hazian Smelt is a ruse.
Right.
That would make sense.
A rose ruse.
A rose ruse.
Rose ruse.
A ruse
Tico. Isn't it weird that her name is Rose and not some Star Wars-y name? I'm bumped by that a little bit.
Well, it does imply that there are roses. There are flowers like that in Star Wars, which I
guess on her planet. Maybe she's from Earth.
But that's the thing that we find all along.
Daniel referred to her as Rose Tico Masala, and I was like, is that really her name?
No.
I realized that. I know.
Mm-hmm. Once there's a Star Wars restaurant that's not officially licensed, I bet we could find that. It's like a Star Wars themed dinner somewhere would have that.
I'm usually that funny when I'm off mic, by the way.
Sorry.
Allison gets my best material.
I'm sorry that I shared one of your lesser jokes.
It's okay.
Honey.
No, I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, B.
A rose was according to Wikipedia, a rose was a type of flower that was occasionally used in wedding bouquets.
Hmm.
And there's Ithorian rose, jade rose, Malraux rose, and a type of purple rose native to Endor. So there are some notes about roses, but not
all right.
Not much. Notes, oh, and she's from roses. Haze Minor. That's why it's hazy and smelt. So she's not. Yeah. That's her planet. On Haze, is that what you were about to say, Alex?
No, I was going to say that this is. I feel like this is the moment where we're suddenly supposed to be like, oh, maybe he's not such a bad guy. Like this is where they're setting us up for the Lando flip that he's going to actually turn out to be a good guy all along. So they're kind of. Lulling us into a false sense of security here.
Lando Flip was a huge dance craze. In the...
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So I don't like DJ. And I don't know if it's that I don't like Benicio Del Toro in this role. I mean, I don't think we're supposed to like the character once he flips. But like the Benicio Del Toro of it all is an odd, it's like a round peg in a square peg in a round hole for me the entire time. It's not quite working. Did you guys
it's a very affected performance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. It's very mannered and I don't love it.
Hmm. Yeah. Do you like other Benicio? You liked him in other projects?
Well, I haven't had this reaction to him in other stuff. So I guess that would be a yes.
There are times when he's gone this far where he's a little self-conscious. The thing that bothered me the most about him is just that he wasn't Justin Theroux. Like why put someone in that role who I like and want to see, and then be like, nah, you're not going to ever see him again.
Oh,
your expectations are being undermined.
Yeah, there you go.
But I don't know.
Justin Theroux had just a tiny role, right?
The story that we figured out for that a couple of weeks ago was that there was that was supposed to be a like a very complicated alien creature. Master Codebreaker was going to be this, you know, like very like they did a lot of cool animatronics for it and all that.
What's that guy who did Neil Hardware Scanlon? Wars? Like
Ernie Fuselius.
It was like an Ernie Fuselius creation.
Right, it's an automaton that was ready to go, and then more or less, it seems like just a couple of days before filming, they were like, "Oh, Justin Theroux's available. Why don't we just make him the Codebreaker instead?" And they were just like wheeling. I picture them like wheeling in the monster and being like, "Oh, okay," and just like putting him back in the closet to never be heard from again.
Yeah, God forbid we have anything visually interesting in Canto Bright.
Well, weirdly, the puppet looked exactly like Justin Theroux, so it was really weird. Right. I don't know why they even bothered to.
It was Justin Theroux automaton.
He was just 2 inches bigger.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. They snoked him up.
Yeah.
Well, then it does go back. Oh, I had not a joke, but I listened really hard to the music when right after DJ does the little zap with the thing and he says, "Hazy and Smelt, best conductor," and I wanted to hear if John Williams gave a little sting like best conductor. I'll give
did he?
No, it's just a kind of a normal little musical bit. So
he totally should have
is he putting
the E.T. theme or the Superman theme.
Right, yeah.
That was one of the Disney Plus extras. Did you watch that, Pete and Alex? They show John, there's like a thing about John Williams doing the music and, you know, getting to have his life's work be like this same, you know, body of stories repeatedly and taking, you know, more about Ray's theme and Kylo Ren's theme. And it's just really interesting.
I'll make this fast because I'm bored. One of my problems with
always a good setup
is exemplified in the Rey's theme, actually, because it's like Luke's theme, the Force theme. When you listen to that, has in it, you know, kind of his story. It feels there's a yearning, there's like a climax, and then sort of it has a progression in this. Like, it feels like the movement of the Star Wars story, whereas Rey's theme is just a babada bibada babada bibada bibada. It's just a ride. And I'm like, that's the problem. Sorry, but I like these movies, sort of. But I'm up and down. It's very mixed, my feelings about these movies.
Funnily enough, the first piece of music from these movies to stand out to me was Rey's theme. I'm kind of music blind because I'm you know, it takes me a while to be like, oh yeah, wait, I remember that piece of music from that movie.
Yeah.
But that was one that stood out to me, and I feel like the more that I listen to it, the more it evokes that, like, her scenario of just being kind of alone and in a desert world, and it's very sparse in that sense. But I don't,
yeah,
I see what you're saying. Our friend Chrysanthi Tan has been doing a companion show to this one that each week, talking about just the music. A weekly YouTube show, where kind of covering the same 5 minutes, but just talking strictly about the music and the sound design to a certain extent. And
it's, interesting. I like that.
Yeah, everybody should check that out. Star Wars Music Minute.
I was just a guest on that, so people should definitely check out that one. Check out my week and then you can skip the rest.
Then delete it.
But then also I did think about, so why would DJ give the medallion back at this point? Because he knows that they're about to be
captured.
Right. Is it just no hard feelings in advance? Is it like,
to lower their false, you know, to kind of make them, to ease them into it so they're less, you're right. I mean, I think it's, on a filmmaking level, it's to lower our defenses, but in the context of the story, it doesn't make sense.
Maybe it's just like a small pity that he's taking. Like,
right.
I'm doing this. Here. The least I can do is just give you back this thing that means something to you.
Right.
It'd be nice to find out that he kept the real one, and that was basically like an imitation one that he gave back.
They just sell those at the First Order gift shop, so it's not that big a deal.
I bet they sell Do they sell those at
Galaxy's Edge?
Galaxy's Edge.
I don't know.
The ones that like break apart, like the hearts.
Right, and there's delicious nougat inside.
So we get a joke I think is good where they say, okay, what are we going to do after this? And then Finn's like, I know where all the escape pods are. And Rose is like, oh, of course you do, because that was, you know.
Oh, right. That's how they met.
Yeah, that's how they met. So I like that.
They
joke.
Should have said that. Like, oh, that's how we met. And then it should have had a little look.
There should have been a little flashback. There should have been like a, remember yes. that time? It's different actors playing them and stuff. And BB-8 shoots out his little communicator here.
The coolest moment in all 9 movies.
Oh, okay, shoots good. Out I was going to say, Nokia I thought phone. It was... I thought it was weird, but good. I'm glad you liked it.
No, it was the coolest. It was just like he shoots out the little Apple remote and he catches it and nobody makes a big deal about it.
Yeah.
It just is a cool thing that happens.
Through the little trash can, too. It's got a good, you know, good targeting or whatever he's got.
Because they'd already set up that he can shoot things.
Right.
Yes.
He can fire things. So.
If it was me, that thing totally would have gone flying past me. I would have bobbled it and would have cracked on the ground and broken open.
Yeah, I would have been like,
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known to catch it. I would have jumped.
That's why it was
whacked
cool.
you right in the head. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the First Order would have come and taken you away. And like, oh.
Right.
Yeah.
It would have gone sliding off of one of the edges of one of the
right.
The catwalk.
Yeah, I wonder if that... So if they had accidentally given themselves up, via some shenanigans like that, like would DJ have still gotten paid? And then if he wasn't getting paid, would he have then turned around and helped free them with the idea of getting paid from the First Order? I mean, from the Resistance.
I feel like he wouldn't have done that because at that point it seemed like the Resistance was done.
Right.
It's futile. I think they would have paid him anyway. He still brought them into the actual ship and stuff.
Yeah.
So. I'm leaning towards that as well. But who knows how scrupulous or unscrupulous they might be. Maybe
could they just
maybe
kill them.
They like to welch on their debts.
Hmm.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know whether they're like Lannisters or other regular people who don't pay their debts.
Trump.
And we do get a little bit. We talked about C-3PO freaking out and Poe kind of taking command. He jumps into the chair, and it's basically just a Poe and C-3PO. Now I'm thinking back about the idea that maybe Poe is a droid. It's Poe.
Shippers.
C-3PO.
Shippers call him C-3PO.
There you go.
Repo.
C-3PO-E.
Yeah.
They just call him Po-Po.
C-Popio.
But
they're
I do
good,
like
they're a good comedy duo because you know he's all reckless and C-3PO's all scared. So
well, I was trying to remember: do they have contact? Do they have dialogue together in The Force Awakens?
I'm gonna guess no.
You say no to Po-Po.
Is C-3PO in The Force Awakens? No. Really? Like
he is.
You might not have recognized him. He had a red arm at the time, so a lot of people forget that he was in.
I thought that was his brother.
D3PO.
Yeah.
C4PO, you know.
C3P1.
That makes sense.
Or maybe it should be like Hal, where everyone is one letter off, like D4Q. Yeah.
Oh, boy. I thought you meant like Hal and Sal, because I just watched 2010 not too long ago. But yeah, I was wondering if they have, what's their relationship? Did they have any dialogue in Force Awakens? But I couldn't remember any. So this is where everybody yells at us on Twitter or whatever about all the famous scenes that we loved between
that you're forgetting.
Poe and C-3PO in The Force Awakens. So
yeah.
Is it, unimportant question, but is it P-O or P-O-E? Do we know?
For Poe Dameron?
Yeah.
It's O-E.
P-O-E.
Okay.
For the Teletubby, I believe it's just P-O.
Okay.
P-O apostrophe, like a Poe boy.
He's just Poe Dameron, like he doesn't have a lot of money.
Right. Man, you should see Rich Dameron.
Yeah.
That guy's loaded.
Damn. Do you guys enjoy Sloppy Joe sandwiches?
God, I haven't had one since I was a kid.
I mean, sure I would.
Yeah.
They don't make them anymore. Why don't they make them anymore?
You know, oddly enough, my mother-in-law, and this sounds like a comedy bit, but it's not, my mother-in-law just brought that up. Today she's like, oh, I can make Sloppy Joes. I was like, I don't. She's like, yeah, but I mentioned I've stopped eating meat this year. So I was like, well, I don't want to. A, I haven't had a Sloppy Joe since I was in like grade school, and it was served to me by a lunch lady. But B, you know, I don't eat meat anymore. She's like, no, make it with beans. And I was like, is that still a Sloppy Joe? Like, isn't that just beans? Like, what makes it a Sloppy Joe?
B bees? Was,
remember Beans. Man Witch? Was Man Witch a Sloppy Joe? Was that like the ingredient in the Sloppy Joe? Because it was hamburger, like ground beef and what made it a Sloppy Joe?
Tomato and
sloppiness.
Sauce. You can make it with Impossible Burger if you don't want to eat meat. I think the problem, the reason I stopped eating Sloppy Joe's is just the bread. You could never get the bread to Sloppy Joe right because the Sloppy Joe would just spill out. And I always ended up getting too much bread.
Sloppy.
I had bad Joe technique.
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
You need
maybe
a neat Joe.
A neat Joe. Maybe one of those like.
Tidy Joe.
Like a hoagie roll or something. You know, just fill it.
Or how about a pita?
Want to do that.
Keep it all in there. You get less bread, but that's a modern, you know.
So then what was Manwich? I remember it's not a meal, it's a Manwich. I feel like that was.
I feel like Manwich is like a Marvel character.
But that was adjacent to Sloppy Joe. I'm looking it up.
That's where Man Thing studied sorcery and became the Man Witch. The Man Witch Sloppy Joe. Oh, sauces. Wait a minute. What?
Hello.
Yeah.
Man Witch original Sloppy Joe sauce. Just add meat.
There you go.
There you go.
And here in a can, it says Man Witch original, a portmanteau of man and sandwich. Thanks. Yeah. We knew that. Is the brand name of a canned Sloppy Joe sauce.
Oh, I mean, all right. Is it part man?
It's
part man and part witch.
Right.
And then they have a special thick and chunky Sloppy Joe sauce. Ooh. I mean, it couldn't be less appetizing looking at it.
No.
But I do remember it being like a reasonable thing to cook if you were, you know, out of tuna casserole.
It's a relic of the 50s when, you know, housewives would put savory things in Jello, right? Like it was a weird time. I think
But I didn't grow up in the 50s, and I remember this from my childhood.
No, but it was a holdover, and eventually society just said, okay, enough.
They were served to us by people who had eaten them in the 50s.
This is true.
Right.
Apparently, our generation was like, enough. No more Sloppy Joes.
Right.
Yes.
The Joe stops here.
Yeah. No, what is
say no to Joe.
It wasn't, man. Who's the Twitter account? One of these meal things is Steak'em. Steak'em is the Twitter account that is famously woke. And get with it, Manwich. Come on. I just clicked on their Twitter and it's all just recipes.
You watch. Next week, there's going to be a huge Manwich revival. Mm. We're going to be like...
We're at the forefront. People are going to be...
Everyone is sort of wondering this, but not saying anything. And then it's going to...
What are man witch's pronouns?
It should be person witch.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
that's
the modern.
Why.
Yeah. Could be.
So getting back to minute 94 for a second.
Minute 94.
I like the joke where C-3PO says, oh, Admiral Holdo was looking for you. And he says, yeah, we spoke. Yeah. That was a good joke. I don't know why jokes like that are like more, I don't know, the way regular people make jokes as opposed to like pranks.
Right.
That seems more...
You like more of a bon mot.
I do. Bon mot Tarkin is my favorite of the ones. But I was thinking it would be interesting because Bill Poe basically kicks everyone else off the bridge. So it's just him and Carrie Fisher's daughter, and that's it.
And C-3PO.
Right, because, C-3PO does stick around.
Which
should
have this... I'd like to see that extended, turn that into like a bottle episode. Where like they get trapped, you know, maybe the other Holdo and Leia and everybody come back and they take control of the ship from like the battle bridge or something, and then it's just Poe
like panic room where they're
Kato
hidden
Kokonics.
In a little closet. Yeah.
This whole movie feels a little bit like a bottle episode, even though there are huge set pieces and everything.
Yeah,
there's something about the way that the narrative is so constrained that does have that feeling. It doesn't feel as epic and grand as other Star Wars movies.
Well, it takes place. I have to say, it takes place over a very short period of time, too.
Right.
Right.
So,
again, you know, the one that it's pulling from the most is Empire, but Empire does have more. Has a couple. It has Hoth, and it has. Well, this has Crait at the end. So I don't know.
Well, it has Dagobah.
Yeah,
that one has. But it has the Cloud City. So, it's not. It's more about the narrative. It's more about the not the set pieces, but just how like. How much time is spent on this just one thing of the ship, like slowly, like it's the slowest car chase ever.
It's literally linear.
Yeah.
Literally linear.
Well, this continues a bit. The the bridge action continues a little bit until tomorrow. Can you guys come back for one more episode tomorrow?
Yes, I can.
Well,
yes.
Oh, that was a quick yes. I love it. Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Would you say BB or maybe?
I said maybe. Baby.
That would be another, maybe 8 would be a good one. Somebody would mash that up.
There is a BB 8, I'm sure.
Beads?
Everyone's kid is going to be baby 8 for Halloween.
If tomorrow, what were we just, oh, I wanted, that's, I was going to, at the end of the show, I was going to plug Star Wars Music Minute. We already talked about it. Star Wars Music Minute. Go to StarWarsMinute.com/SWMM. And you, that'll take you to Chrysanthi's YouTube show. Hey, we also mentioned yelling at us on Twitter. Why not go to Twitter, follow us at Star Wars Minute. On Instagram, we're the Star Wars Minute. And you can find us there. Probably don't want to yell at us. Twitter's not so yelly. I mean, Instagram's not so yelly. Twitter, very yelly. So, going to yell at us, do it over there. Or, the yelliest of all, go to Facebook. StarWarsMinute.com/Facebook will take you to the Star Wars Minute Listener Society, to which I have returned, and it's a nice place. We've managed to tone down the yelling. we just started a new thing over there, a Star Wars Minute Bingo. Where we people have been contributing things that we say too much, and I fed them all into a computer, and if you go to StarWarsMinute.com/bingo, it pulls out a little sheet, and you can mark it off during the week. And if you win, you win. I don't know what you win. You don't win anything.
How exciting.
How fun. What are some of them?
Don't tell me. I can't hear it.
I don't want to say it in front of Alex. It'll make him self-conscious. But go check that out. And we'll meet you all back here tomorrow for a brand new Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.